The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Did you do hour number three?
You know, we haven't advanced the show that far, so...
Only
two, technology-wise.
Hour number two.
It's all we can afford with our budget.
I guarantee that's never been played before, but I know in the final hour here, we do got to get to the last and the final Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
This is an exclusive. Dave Wyman, Brock Huard here. Dave, we've had the good fortune on the sports side of interviewing some really cool people through the years. I don't know who's a favorite of yours. Coach Carroll for us is always a blast. And mm-hmm. I remember you with Jackie Youngblood at the Super Bowl, man. You love you love that guy. I'll tell you, though, I think this is going to be one of my favorites. We get a chance to interview a seven-year-old star. A seven-year-old. Today's kind of whole day has been around positive messaging. We talked about Tim Tebow. Just got done with the Zion Williamson story. A bunch of other stories today. And many of them have been really positive in nature. I don't think you're going to find one more positive than this. And, of course, it's going to come from a seven-year-old. Roman McCann, who now makes his home down in Atlanta, has done some pretty remarkable work for a number of years. And, Roman, I can't wait to hear, and I know Dory's audience can't wait to hear some of your story. Because even at seven, Roman, you have quite a passion, don't you?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Tell me how and when you decided you were going to be, in many ways, a hero, and you were going to look after dogs and start to really take care of them in some ways and rescue dogs in ways that others can't. Tell me how this all started, if you wouldn't mind, Roman.
Really, I don't know how I started to like dogs. Maybe it was just because I was born with dogs and I really had no choice to not like dogs.
And you have you and your family have created a nonprofit called Project Freedom Ride. You've been all over. I think even Ellen had you on. You have now rescued, you and Project Freedom Ride, more than 1,500 dogs. Is that true, Roman?
That is correct.
How? How are you doing this?
Well, we don't really know how PFR is still surviving because we originally thought it would only be one transport and that's it. Like every once in a while, there would be one transport.
Hey, Roman, do you have a dog of your own or several dogs?
We have three dogs of our own, Luna, Zion, and Rue.
One of them's named Zion?
Yep.
Wow. We just did a story on a basketball player named Zion Williamson. Do you think this is going to be something that's, I know it's early for you, Roman. I know you're 7 years old, but you think this is going to be something that you continue probably the rest of your life?
This will probably be something that I continue forever.
Yeah. It's really cool. It must make you feel really good. What's do you have a favorite breed of dog?
Well, probably pit bulls is one of my favorites. Labs, let's see.
I think it's cool, Roman. I think it's cool that you go and get kind of the mutts, you know? Like, because I've never had, like, a thoroughbred dog. All my dogs have been kind of mutts that we've, you know, either rescued or gotten from a kennel or something like that. And I think they're the best ones. They're the most loyal.
They are really loyal, too.
Yeah.
And Roman, as I understand this, originally these dogs, many of them, you transported out of the state of Texas. Is that correct?
That is. Yep.
And why?
That's where we originally transported them from.
And why did you do that? For the audience that's listening to you right now, why did you transport them from shelters? What was it about the shelters in Texas? And you felt like, no. We need to get these dogs out of Texas, and you've transported more than 1,500 dogs. You, your mom, your family that created the Project Freedom Ride. Why out of the state of Texas?
Well, because if they're in Texas, they have less chances at finding a home. And then when they get up to Washington, there's more adopters and less dogs.
And what would be your dream, Roman? Like, what would be you're only 7 years old. You're doing amazing work. What would be your dream if, you know, like you're 50, like my buddy Dave here, or maybe you're 42, nearly 43, like myself. What would be your dream to watch this Project Freedom Ride?
My dream for PFR would be if they, if in the next couple years, they can save maybe over 3,000 dogs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe the entire United States, and then from the United States move on to other countries.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Go international, Roman. Go overseas. Yeah. That'd be fun.
And how does this, Roman, I asked you earlier, and just now you have time to think about it. Like, in your heart, where did this start? Where did you and your family begin this idea of PFR?
When did we begin it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
They're asking you why. Like, why did you want to help the dogs in Texas? What did you not want to happen when you learned?
Oh, I didn't want them to get put down from euthanasia because all they are is just euthanizing for space.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not really appropriate because they need to get homes.
Yeah. Well, and I'll ask you, Roman, and Mom, too, maybe, is there a way that people can donate? I know you guys have a big Facebook following and things like that, but first of all, let me ask you, how do you pay for this? How do you offset the costs and things of what you're doing?
So our transports are pretty expensive. We just had one go this month that we were actually back in Washington to receive and be a part of. That transport was 113 dogs, and it cost $17,500.
Wow.
So we go through money incredibly fast. But so far, we must have somebody great looking over us because we've been able to raise enough money every month just through donations.
Yeah.
So we have and we only have a Facebook page at this time. We don't have a website because I don't have time to manage everything. I do this and I still work full time. So we have a PayPal link on our Facebook page, and we 99% of our donations come through that, or, you know, people can mail checks and what have you. But we've been very fortunate. We just have people who have really rallied behind Roman and have been able to, like, keep us alive somehow.
Okay, well, tell us, because I guarantee you, when I go home and tell my wife about this, she's going to want to donate some. She's want to donate some money somewhere. How do they get to the Facebook page and everything to possibly donate to your cause?
If you just search Project Freedom Ride in Facebook, we're the first option that comes up. Our logo is our main photo. It's just the dog. It says Project Freedom Ride. When you go to our page, there's a big blue donate button. We've made it as simple as we can. Some people don't have PayPal, so we also have a mailing address posted that they can mail checks to if they need to. We'll take money any way we can get it because we burn through it so fast. So
really quick, can I ask?
It's a pretty amazing project.
Can I ask, how do you apply to get a dog, and how do you make sure these are going to good people?
So we have a process in place. We actually work with Texas Rescues as well. When we were in Texas, we could help locally, and then when we left, that's when we started Project Freedom Rides because we still felt the need to help them. So we have a folder on our Facebook page. When you go to photos, there's a whole group of photos that are labeled as available for adoption. Through that process, you'll connect with one of our sending rescue partners. You'll fill out an application, and then we require a FaceTime or Skype home check. We will also verify, we will do reference checks with, like, your landlord, verify that it's okay to have the dog, your vet, personal references to make sure you're prepared. And once you're approved, you'll, you know, pay your adoption fee and your dog goes on the next transport. We also require that if it doesn't work, those dogs come back into our program. We don't want them winding up in shelters somewhere else because we know it's not a perfect science. Sometimes the dog gets there, your life changes, what have you, things just don't work out. And then we'll work to place the dog, you know, in a different home. But so far we've been pretty successful. It's like I said, it's not perfect, but we've done pretty well.
Well, I think anytime a 7-year-old's got a passion, and this is Project Freedom Ride, I think that's pretty perfect. Is Roman there? I got one last question for him.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, good, Roman. Good. I'm glad you're still here. Hey, Roman, you were hanging out just north of us in Mount Vernon last week, and you were teaching some of the kids at the elementary school about this and about your heart for it. What were you teaching them? What was your message to those elementary school kids?
To teach them, if there's a cause you want to change, don't wait till it's fixed. You can help fix it.
I love it. Roman, thank you. Jen, thank you as well. We will find a way.
Thank
you
for having us.
You got it.
Thanks, guys.
You are welcome, Roman. Thank you, Jen. That is Project Freedom Ride. That is a 7-year-old who had a heart for dogs in kill shelters in the state of Texas. And when they left Texas, said, you know what? I'm not going to just leave Texas and leave those dogs behind.
How about mom? You know, that she's working full time. And, you know, I've got to imagine a lot of people would want to help support this. $17,000. To transport, how many dogs was it?
Like, about 130 dogs. 130? And you can understand that. I mean, you got crates and all of the work and all the time and effort that takes behind the scenes.
Vet bills, things like that.
Yeah. All of it. That is a very, very cool story. That is one of the unique things, Dave, when you and I get a chance to jump on Dory's show every once in a while, right? And you see some of the impact that 97.3 Cairo FM has on this side, some of the projects that they get to support, right? Some of the entities, some of the passions that they have to get behind. And I'm going to guess that Project Freedom Ride and that Facebook page is going to get a few hundred and hopefully 1,000 hits from some of Dory's followers that have that same passion.
You know, you talked about this probably before, too, that your kids, they just pop out hardwired. I mean, you can affect somewhat of, you know, obviously guiding them and things like that. But this kid, this was just in him. And just needed to find it. And, you know, kid's pretty articulate. You know, he was on the radio. I think it was tougher for him. I saw him on TV, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he just blah, 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 going on and on and on. And the kid really just an amazing young man.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. That was on Ellen. She knows how to interview. I mean, he had to deal with me. And, you know, you did an excellent job. But he had to deal with me. And that's
I also think he had pretty cool parents and adults around him that made these dreams possible, too.
No question about it. Hey, we're watching these news networks here, and everywhere you're seeing the biggest headline of the day is out of Chicago, and there's some new updates on the Jussie Smollett case that we started the show with here, filling in. It's Brock Ewart. It's Dave Wyman here on Dory Monson's show, and Jussie Smollett looks like he is in a whole heap of trouble. He has been indicted on filing false police reports. We played the sound earlier. It's a pretty powerful sound. This is the Chicago Police Department Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And Eddie Johnson makes it very clear to Jussie Smollett who, well, he's been indicted for falsely reporting a hate crime. And the Chicago PD superintendent, he didn't mince his words at all.
You know, as I look out into the crowd, I just wish that the families of gun violence in this city got this much attention. Because that's who really deserves the amount of attention that we're giving to this particular incident.
Yeah, he went on further. He didn't back down at all.
This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims?
So why?
You know, in the beginning, I thought, okay, is he trying to further something from a political sense? Like, is he trying to bring more awareness to hate crimes or homophobic or racist threats and things like that? And I thought, you know, well, maybe that would be the case. It's pretty despicable. It's not for that at all. It was for his own career. It was to further his own career.
Self-glorification.
That's sick.
You know, I'll say, and Mike Salk will make fun of me an awful lot over the last decade he and I have worked together, and we see the world in very different ways at times, and, you know, I like to use the term slippery slope. I think there's a little slippery slope that you engage in some, you know, it's harmless. It's not that big a deal. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, it gets a little bit further. And then it starts to snowball and gets a little bit further. And I've seen it in people's personal lives, some of the decisions and choices they made. I've seen it in business. I can just fib this, or I can fib that, or I can go down this road. And all of a sudden, just one little decision can lead to eventually, not all the time and not always, but it can lead to quite a firestorm. And as we've kind of learned some of the details of this, and Nicole, you can fill in some of the blanks. Initially and originally, you know, it was not necessarily a prank, but he kind of, his first step into this and some of the falsifying documents was nowhere near as severe as the end game.
Well, yeah. Well, it sounds like, I mean, I guess everybody kind of came out thinking, well, like the, you know, Doria said before, the left has driven, or this hate they have had for Donald Trump has driven them to, you know,
try to exaggerate
it. And then it turns out that this is literally for money. But I think that it started with this letter that he sent the police, and he was hoping that that would get him some attention.
Yep.
And it didn't work. And so then he escalated it. And so then he got his buddies to fake an attack. He actually, I heard that he cut himself on the eye. That injury that is seen in the picture of him lying in the hospital bed was self-inflicted. And then, now he's... maybe jail.
And I made a little parallel in the sports world, the story that came out, a little over a year ago. A general manager in an NBA organization, Philadelphia 76ers, had started a couple burner accounts, right? In the social media world, it made these accounts to attack players, to attack some other members, you know, had some information that only he would know of and his wife would know of. And they were going to attack some of the people that they, I don't know, held grudges against in the organization. Oh, you know, I'll create a burner account. Not that big a deal. I'll create two. Well, you know, I'll just kind of continue down this road. And it just lit and it got bigger and bigger. And ultimately, you know, when they found out and it circled back on him, you're like, you're out. Like, mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I know, he's unemployable. I don't know how you employ this guy now after.
He's going to need psychiatric evaluation. I mean, he went pretty far on this one. And, you know, you realize, look, it's a felony. And you know, look at the penalty and everything like that. You mentioned the slippery slope, Brock. I mean, do you remember the Enron accounting scandal?
Yep.
That was like in the early 2000s? And it was kind of starting off that way. Like, oh, I'm going to fudge a little number here. And then I'm going to fudge a number there. And then next thing you know, it's so far down the hill that, you know, I guess you either figure, hey, I'm in huge trouble, or, you know, you try to take it back and it's too late.
Yeah.
So it's for this guy, man, it's, I almost feel sorry for him, but I don't. You know, especially, like I said, I mean, if he was doing it for one reason, to lie to, you know, try to politically motivate somebody or something, yeah, that's despicable because it's fake. But this, doing it selfishly for himself and his own personal gain. And, you know, it's the case of crying wolf, because it takes the bite out of real cases and charges of racism and homophobia and all that.
Does Story Show always move this fast?
Does it? Yes. It goes by quick, right?
Yes.
We haven't got to half the stuff we were going to do.
Not even close. And what does he do next? The best sound of the day? We got like eight things to try to choose from for awesome audio of the day. We'll try to make that choice for all of you. Dave Wyman, Brock Heward, Dory Monson Show, 97.3 Cairo FM.
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Brock Heward and Dave Wyman running the show today. Dory on vacation. Before we get to awesome audio, Brock, did you see what they want to do down in the People's Republic of Oregon? They want to lower the voting age to 16. And, you know, this is my fault, because we got to get to our awesome audio. But this was like, what? Kids are not getting older sooner these days. I mean, I was out of the house at 18. My wife was out of the house at 18. You know, kids are staying home. They're more dependent. They're less likely to get jobs early on. They want to lower the voting age from 18 to 16. That is outrageous to me.
They can drive. Why can't they vote? That's not a good comparison.
Yeah.
You got to have a Republic of Oregon your deal, or was that Dory's? Did you just come up with that?
I don't know.
Is that what I said? Yeah. I meant to say the great state of Oregon.
Oh, sorry.
I just had a 16-year-old cousin drive on a little bit flat tire because he wanted McDonald's in the middle of the night, and they ended up obviously having to get towed because there was no key to unlock the flat.
Did he know how to change the tire?
Well, he could have, except for they didn't have the key to open the rim, whatever. Yeah. But no, most kids at 16 are
most 16-year-old kids don't have common sense for that anymore. I'm sorry, the common sense level is starting much later in life. So, no, you should not lower the voting age to 16. You should be a taxpayer. Should have a job. You should be supporting yourself.
I think you should go the other way. Let's go to 28.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Brock. I was going to say, look, if anything, they need to raise it.
Good.
Raise it to maybe a couple years past the drinking age.
Hey, are you prepared to handle this awesome audio?
Like, and it's the most technically challenging.
Yeah. You ready for this?
What, this part?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is tough. Well, let's get to awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
See? Did it twice. In clip number one, Brock.
Wait, this is number three.
What?
We count backwards. This is awesome audio number three.
Oh, all right. Awesome audio number three. I guess it is complicated as it turns out. All right, yeah, Brock, this is yours. You like this. We all love Dave Niehaus. Everybody loves Dave Niehaus.
No.
That was number three. That's number three. What?
That's number one.
Number three is, right. Hey, Sean, we know you like pinball.
Hey, Sean, you're a pinball fan.
Number three.
Well, wait, we weren't ready, Sean.
Sorry, that was my bad.
That was an early...
I shouldn't have played that there.
Yeah, so Sean really likes pinball, but have you ever heard of?
Maybe they should raise the voting age to 55, since I'm 54. All right, Sean, you love pinball.
Yeah, it's
true. Not this kind of pinball, though.
What kind of pinball are we talking about, Dave?
Yeah, we're talking about bulls and drunk people.
I'll pretend not to know what you're talking about.
Isn't there some kind of sound here?
Yes.
Number three.
Several people were hurt at a rodeo event in Owensboro. The game Cowboy Pinball had contestants standing in the middle of the ring trying to grab a $100 bill from between a bull's horns. Several people were hurt. Good grief. They are recovering from broken ribs, torn ligaments, scrapes, and bruises.
He had his head down and he did not stop at the people. He went through them. He didn't slow down at all. He just plowed.
All this for the chance at a $100 bill.
You know what my wife and I usually do after we hear something like this? Uh-huh. We always do the same thing. We got hillbillies.
You should see the video of this. They're all standing in little circles, and the bull just goes around and whacks them. And people are doing somersaults and cartwheels in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
They're getting thrown feet.
For $100?
$100.
So the people are like human bumpers, right, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah, human pop bumpers. Yeah.
And there's no flippers.
Yeah, there's no flipper.
Other than what the bull is doing to you.
But sure. I was watching the video, and I'm like, how drunk would you have to be to have, 3,000 pounds of beef just coming at you with the big horns and everything, and to just stand still?
Sean, how much money would they have to pay, or what would be the prize that
to
would
get in
you to do
one
that?
Of those circles?
Yes.
Zero. Nothing. I don't want to do that.
Wow.
I don't need a bull of 3,000 pounds coming towards me. I get enough injuries playing regular pinball. I've had bruises on my hips. I got golfer's elbow because I hurt my joint slamming and tilting that machine too much. I don't need a bull to do that.
Whoa. How do you hurt your hip? Like when pinball.
You bump it, right?
You bump it. I bump it with my hip, and the next day I was like, where did this bruise come from? Am I an abused man? No.
Yeah. Do you ever miss, Sean, and accidentally go in between the hips and hit the machine?
You mean with my penis?
Oh, my God. What are we
I don't know. I don't understand
here.
The question.
Awesome audio number two.
Number two.
This is former President Barack Obama.
Sean DeTore has lost his mind.
Are we ready for Obama?
Yes, number
you
two.
You want to give us some background?
Yes. Two. There, that's all we need, yeah. Barack Obama ripping rappers.
Let's face it, a lot of hip-hop and rap music is built around me showing how I got more money than you, I can disrespect you and you can't do nothing about it, I'm going to talk about you and punk you. And ironically, that actually shows the vulnerability that you feel. If you are really confident about your financial situation, you probably are not going to be wearing an 8-pound chain around your neck. Because you know, I got bank. I don't have to show you how much I got. I feel good. If you are very confident about your sexuality, you don't have to have eight women around you twerking.
Twerking.
I love it.
You ever twerked?
I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what it is.
Knocking off.
Yeah, don't want to know.
You know what a twerk is.
It's something you do with your body. It's kind of a... It looks sexual in some manner. Am I right? You know what? I have to say, I became an old man in the playoffs when the guy did the thing with his hips that was simulating that. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I do not want to see that. I don't want to hear about Sean DeTore's
privates. Did you think you'd hear about Sean's privates and President Obama talking twerking?
Yeah, in the same show, like back to back. That's our awesome audio. I would have never thought of that.
That was it, by
the way.
I like
Obama, by the way. I like listening to him there and the things he's saying. It's very real, man. Yeah, he's talking about how, look, if you're that confident, then you don't have to show it.
That's at the My Brother's Keeper Summit down in SoCal, and Steph Curry and a bunch of guys were there. That was a really, really cool deal talking about masculinity. Not heard the prez, former president, speak quite like that. Okay. That's
right, and,
3-2,
and, lastly,
and what is one?
Yeah, well, number one, which is supposed to be 3, which I was told was 3, then it was 1. Now it's number 1. Brock loves Dave Niehaus.
Sure
Who doesn't
do.
Love Dave Niehaus? And we've got spring training starting today, although they got rained out.
Rained
today,
out in the second inning. 5-0 yeah. win for the Mariners, well on their way to 90 that Dave's predicting.
5-0.
Number 1.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share a hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together. 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
And welcome back, 46 and sunny in Seattle, while it's 43 and raining in Peoria.
And really quick, all of our awesome audio today was brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash.
One more time, please.
Brown Bear. Car wash.
Nice.
Yeah, since it's not raining here, it's a good time to go get your car washed.
Right? Right?
That is where all 3 incredibly awesome pieces of audio went to. I'm going to guess that's probably the one piece that's going to go to Dory. Like, oh, you want to hear how Brock and Dave did filling in for yeah. your show?
The one guy that's here every day, Sean,
might have been the one that was... It. Wow, that went sideways.
Yeah. Dave Niehaus is one of the greatest. Dory loved him. It's kind of neat hearing what's to come a little bit in the months ahead here with Mr. Monson. I don't know how much he shared with his audience. Some neat things on the horizon for Dory. And we were talking about Dave Niehaus in particular and just the role that he has played in Dory's career, how much he idolized him early on and interviewing him through the years. And yeah, Mr. Niehaus, you paint a picture like very, very few can. And even if a game is rained out in the second inning, you are still the awesome audio of the day.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the signs that the Earth's coming to an end. That's not what it's called. Today's sign, the end is near, which may or may not include a guy. Well, it includes a guy in a Speedo and covered in peanut butter. That's next on the Dory Monson Show.
Well, welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Dave, this is it. And I think many people applauding, probably around the Pacific Northwest, that the show has come to an end. This is the final segment of the day.
I don't know about that. I think they might be clamoring for more, Brock and Dave.
I think they're definitely clamoring for more.
Well, I know this. The final segment of the day means it's time for...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Dave, you're a monster. Fantasy football gamer.
Don't even know what it's about. Really what? Don't. You know what?
That's
I had a buddy, when I was playing for the Broncos, a buddy of mine came out to visit my wife's friend and her husband. He was a big fantasy football guy. And I was playing for the Broncos. It was 1993. He was like, hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? And I was like, I'm telling you, this guy is unbelievably good, blah, blah, blah. And I gave him all these picks. He got destroyed. I had no idea what I was doing as far as fantasy football goes.
Apparently. I've been consulted a few times. But
wouldn't you think that they would think you're an insider, right? Yeah. I should have been an insider in that situation.
Yeah, I've set up BrockHewartLLCFantasy.com. It's a consulting site. I charge $1,500 an hour for my time. Anybody can call me, and I'll give you all the advice and all the counsel I possibly can. Maybe we've not played fantasy football. We have paid off bets, though.
Yeah.
Worst bet you've had to pay on? Most of my stuff is harmless. I don't bet a lot. I lost a horrible amount of money. I lost all my per diem betting with Jeff Fiegels one time on a Husky Miami Hurricane game while we were both Seahawk teammates, and that taught me never to bet again.
Yeah.
I've eaten like horrible stuff, and I bet you won't drink that, or I bet you won't eat that. Have you ever paid
was
off
this
a bet?
Your rookie year, you lost all your money. Were you playing Bure?
No. It was just I thought it was a really cool deal. Like I think the Huskies were 25-point underdogs at Miami, and I was like, okay, we'll do like $10 every point either side of it or something ridiculous. Yeah. And they lost like 69-7, and I lost $400. That was it. I was done.
Yeah, I lost my rookie year in Bure on the plane. Rookie, just, it was like $300, and that was all the while. Like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. But when I went to Denver, I went on a streak on the away games my first year there. I must have made like $3,500 that year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big money.
I was on a roll.
If you were to bet in fantasy football, which we've never played, maybe this, let's say you got 12 people in your fantasy world, and let's say you either had to pay $250 or you had to strip down to your Speedos and cover yourself in peanut butter, would you do it? This fool did.
My strategy was to do it as fast as possible and hope that not as many people would see me, There was a couple walking down the sidewalk, and they both said, "Ew!" And they walked by so fast after that.
You see, Shrout came in dead last playing fantasy football with his friends.
It was my first year in fantasy football.
And this year, in his league, if you have the worst record, you either pay the winner $250 or...
I would have to lather myself up in peanut butter, wearing nothing but a gold Speedo, and go to a dog park.
All right, $250. Raise your hand if you would have to go buy a gold Speedo. I just want to know, Brock, you don't have a Speedo?
I don't have a Speedo.
All right, so first you got to go buy the gold Speedo.
True.
Can I say this? I got my dog Hoover, who I love. I don't want him licking some stranger in a Speedo.
I do think it's a pretty genius bet, though. It's pretty funny. It's not illegal.
I saw the video.
Would be hilarious.
The two people sitting there, they weren't as shocked as you would have thought
or hoped.
You know that he lost a bet. I'm sure that they thought it was hilarious.
Smooth or chunky peanut butter?
Should have been chunky, but I think he went with creamy.
Worst thing you've ever done paying off a bet?
Nothing money-wise, but, when you golf, there's a rule about if you don't hit it past the ladies' tee,
true,
you have to hit the next shot in a certain state.
Yeah, and you did it. You paid it off.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. You pay off your bets.
It's called a blank out.
Okay.
I did it.
You know what? If we ever want to be invited back, we'll leave it right there. We'll leave that at just a blank out.
Or to a golf course.
Yeah. You think we'll be invited back, Nicole?
Of course. I beg you to come back.
This is one song I think I can sing.
So we took turns. Go ahead.
Oh, I won't.
I met Kenny Rogers at the NBA All-Star game in 1996.
Good dude.
Yeah. He had a very, very beautiful granddaughter with him.
Oh.
No, it was his girlfriend.
Really?
Yes. She must have been 20-something, and he must have been...
What he's trying to look like.
80-something.
Nicole, thanks for putting up with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Sean. Jennings.
Yep.
Appreciate it. If we ever do come back.
Thanks for not annoying me too much today.
Right. You've been listening to Dory Monson Show.
Go ahead. Sing it.
My last swallow. Then he bought a cigarette and asked me for a light.
He's a kind of know-the-word singer.
That's a perfect quiet voice.
And his face lost all expression. He said, Dave, if you're going to play the Game Boy, you got to learn to play it right.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money.
sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Today is the hardest I have worked in a long, long time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.